Today, I'm continuing our series, the Jesus Said series, and it's pretty easy as a pastor to get excited when you're preaching on the words of Jesus. And I'll preach through the whole Bible. I don't mind preaching through Ezra and Nehemiah. I thought that was a great series. But as a pastor, when you get to preach the words of Jesus, now you're at the Disneyland of ministry when you're preaching Jesus. So I can't wait. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 13 today. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up there. We're going to be right at the beginning, verse 1. And let's go ahead and pray, make sure our hearts are receptive to the word, and then we'll get going. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, who you are. You are an amazing, amazing God. You are an awesome God. Praise the name of Jesus, who is my rock, who is my fortress, who is my deliverer. Praise the name above all names. We praise you, Lord, today. God, would you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to be open to anything you'd want to say to us today. We don't want to leave here the same. We want chains to be broken today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, church, before I read this, I just got to say we had one of the coolest things happen this week. A little boy named David Kent Ross was born to Will and Katie, 9 pounds, 5 ounces, 20 inches. Oh, my goodness. Have you noticed the church growth strategy here at LifeSpring? Let's go. I love it. Well, and I did. It was so awkward, but a few weeks ago I was talking about making disciples. And if you want to get a chuckle, just go back to that service because it was not in my notes. And I was talking about all the places you should make disciples. And I said, and make disciples in the bedroom. I'm going to get to my message, but that Sunday, if you watch the video, there's so much internal processing going on in my head. Like, just move on. Don't say it. But I appreciate you guys responding to that message so well. Praise the Lord. So again, Will and Katie, congrats. Will is actually serving on the sound team today, and just what a blessing you guys are to our family. And God bless that baby. Lord Jesus, just bless that baby. Amen. Okay, here we are, Matthew 13. Jesus goes out of the house and he sits by a lake. If we can, just try to mentally picture what's going on here. There's large crowds, and such large crowds had gathered around him that he had to get into a boat. Sometimes we just skip by that, but isn't that interesting? Like, there's so many people. They're like, man, what do we do? Well, get him on the boat. So they get him on the boat. He sits in the boat while all the people stood on the shore. It's kind of brilliant as well. If you've ever been on a lake or body of water, the acoustics of that, there's some brilliance there. So he's on the boat, being able to speak to the people on the shore. And then he tells them many things in parables. And here it is. He says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. By the way, I think at this point, there's probably about 90% of people that would be in a rural or agrarian society. So they understand that metaphor right away. But he says, a farmer goes out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. And I love this. He says, whoever has ears, let them hear. LifeSpring, do we have ears today? Yeah, let's hear what the Lord is saying. I want to actually read that whole thing again. This time I'm actually going to put up a drawing that I found on the internet. I was actually going to use the whiteboard and try to draw. I practiced at home and I said, nope, we're going to find a picture. So I'm going to read it again, but go ahead and if you can, look at that picture as I do this. A farmer goes out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plant, it was scorched. They withered because they had no root. Interesting. They had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160, 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. I want to keep on reading a little bit later on in this chapter. We have a gift from Jesus because he actually explains this parable. He doesn't explain all the parables, but here he actually explains it. So let's read what Jesus' explanation is. We're going to be in verse 18. He says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. By the way, I just had a thought come to mind. Some of you are artists or you like to doodle. This might be a really good message for you to just kind of draw as we're preaching today. This is the seed sown along the path. Verse 20, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word, at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. Does anyone know anybody like that? I think in our culture and in life, you might know someone like that who hears the word, receives it at once with joy, but since they have no root, interesting, they last only a short time. And then look what he says. He goes, when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they what? They quickly fall away. Now, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word. Oh, man, this one's relevant as well to 2024. It's to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Again, I think we all have examples of that. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands the word. And this is one who produces a crop yielding 160. 30 times what was sown. Yeah, amen. So the sower, who's the sower in this story? I've heard a couple of answers, different answers on this. Some people would say it's God. I was reading a commentary that was saying it's us, you know, it's the evangelist. I was talking to Mark Kincaid about all of this, and Mark was like, well, it's anything, right? It's anybody. The sower could be anything. He was saying it could be a TV program. It could be a tract. It could be a radio program. It could be a social media post. He was making the point that the Holy Spirit can use anybody to cast the seed. So, and I would just say for us, yes, of course, the Lord is the sower. I'd also say the sower of sowers is using us to sow his seed. So amen for that. But the seed, what's the seed? He tells us in there that it's the message of the kingdom. You could say the seed is the good news of Jesus. Have you heard of the word gospel, right? The gospel message, the good news of Jesus, the message of the kingdom. So there's the seed. What would be the soil? What do you guys think? Our hearts. That's what I was thinking. I was like, well, it's a human. Any human, it's my body. But then I kind of narrowed into that too, Tracy. I was like, you know what? Really, I think it's my heart. And when we mean heart, I'm not talking about the actual heart that's pumping blood right now and doing what hearts do. I'm talking about me, like my heart. How is my heart today? And so you have this hard ground, you have this rocky ground, you have the thorny ground, and you have the good soil. And so really today, it's going to be very simple. I have two thoughts for you. The first thought is this. What is the condition of my heart? What is the condition of the soil of my heart? And specifically to receive the kingdom, to receive the good news of the kingdom, the message of the kingdom, to receive Jesus. What's the condition of my heart? And the second point is this. I want to talk a little bit about what's the condition of the soil of other people's hearts. Because we're living in an interesting region. I was just in Tennessee all week. I was coaching some worship leaders over there. I got to be honest, it felt a little easier in Tennessee than it does over here in South King County. And so here is where we are. We have been called here. Every one of you, by the way, you are on the mission field. You are called here. You're not by accident in the Pacific Northwest. This is not some like, oh my goodness, did I pick the last straw? No, the Lord purposely designed you, fashioned and formed you, made you to come here for such a time as this. You are on mission, church. But let's also realize that this is the mission field. Amen as well. But what's the condition of the hearts of those around us? So let's start with that first one. Again, how's your heart? Where are you at with Jesus? I don't want to assume anything here. I think I know most of you. There's some here that I don't know. So again, I don't want to even assume if I've known you for 20, 30 years that I truly know what the condition of your heart is. That's a question that you get to ask on your own between you and the Lord. How's the soil of your heart? By the way, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you've never asked him to come into your life, you've never asked him to save you from your sins, you never said, Jesus, I need forgiveness, you've never said, I need that new life, eternal life that comes by following you and obeying you. If you've never done that, well, one, you're just in the best place ever to do that. And so what I'd ask you is, how's the condition of your heart? Are you open to what Jesus might want to say to you? If your soil is open to the word of God, man, your life is about to change forever. But even, I mean, I was thinking about this week as a Christian, like as a pastor, how's my heart? Like, I've been a Christian a long time. Some of you have been Christians a long time. How's the soil of your heart? And today, right now, I love what you said, because are we open to what Jesus wants to do today in our hearts? Hard ground, stony ground, thorny ground, good soil. We read through the Old Testament here at the church. We have a Bible reading plan, and most years it includes the Old Testament. Have you noticed that the Old Testament talks a lot about people's hearts? I mean, there's a lot of talk about people's hearts. Some people are just definitely not open to the Lord. Some people, their hearts are hardened towards the Lord. But I've noticed in a lot of those stories, it's people that actually were with the Lord, and then they turned away from God. Their heart was with God, and then something happened where their heart turned from the Lord. I was reading Psalm 78 this week. Psalm 78 was super good, like so powerful. And it's this great story of God delivering his people from Egypt. Like, that is the story. It's such a powerful story. And he goes through in Psalm 88 talking about all that God had done. God is splitting the waters. You guys know that one, right? He splits the waters. But he's so faithful. He leads them by a cloud by day and fire by night. And then he feeds them manna and he gives them water to drink. I mean, just incredible. God is awesome in the Exodus story. And yet what Psalm 78 tells us is that even after all that God had done for them, Psalm 78 says that their hearts were not loyal to God. What a phrase, right? Their hearts were not loyal to God. Their spirits were not faithful to God. Again, the Bible talks a lot about our hearts and the condition of our heart. It matters. So again, I want to talk to the Christians in the room for a minute. Like, you good? Is your soil good? Is the condition of your heart the kind of heart that receives the word, allows it to take root, go deep, and then grow and produce fruit? Mr. T, I just told Mr. T before I preached, I said, Mr. T, I love your amens. They're such an encouragement to me. And you just came in clutch right there. That was so good. But how's your heart? If your heart isn't so soft to the Lord, and that happens to all of us, by the way, we're humans. That is something that would happen to every one of us. But if you're struggling with that, if you're struggling with being open to his word, if you're not allowing his word, you ever feel like the word's kind of here, but it's not here? Like it's touching you, it's falling on you, but it's not getting in and taking root. If that's you today, if you're in a place where you're like, man, I just don't know if I'm being fruitful, then again, I love what you did, Pastor Lord, because let's get that one settled today. Can we just do some work today and let the Holy Spirit do some work today? Come on, live stream. There's no reason for any of us, not even one person, to leave here with a hard heart. Amen? Amen. And a big part of this is, you hear me say this often, but you got to remember who you are and whose you are. We got to remember what happened when Jesus came into your life. Again, I'm talking to the Christians in this room. When Jesus came into your life, the Lord did something truly miraculous in your heart. You never get to say God has never done a miracle in my life. Because if you're a Jesus follower, guess what? Jesus did a miracle in your life. Zach Hudson, would you raise your hand real quick? Zach was talking to me the other day. And he was telling me, I loved it. He said, when Jesus comes into your life, he goes, it's a radical change. He said, it's a metamorphosis. Like, just completely new. Paul says it this way. You're a new creation in Christ, where the old is gone and the new has come. Right? Has anyone else? Has God done something new in your life? Has he radically changed your life? It's what the Lord says in Ezekiel 36. He says, I'm going to give you a new heart. A new heart. He says, I'm going to put a new spirit within you. And I'm going to remove that heart of stone from your flesh. Oh man, like, I've lived with a heart of stone. That is a terrible way to live. But he says, I'm going to remove it, and instead I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, a heart that is alive. And I'm going to put my spirit within you, and I'm going to cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. That's what we have in Jesus. It's like what the author of Hebrews in chapter 8 of Hebrews quotes Jeremiah 31. He lets us know that we have a new covenant that is found in Jesus, where the Lord puts the law within us and writes it on our hearts. It's really important that we remember this as Christians. He has written his law on our hearts. So think of it this way. Your heart in Christ, your heart, guess what it desires more than anything else? Your heart in Christ desires to follow the Lord and to obey his commands. Did you know that? Did you know that? There are still Christians that have been Christians for 40, 50 years that are thinking their heart is still sinful and wicked and just dead. But Jesus did something in your life. He gave you a new heart, a heart that his commands are written on your heart. That's who you are right now. Anything else other than that is a lie from the enemy himself. Remember what Jesus has done for you. That's what he's given you. He paid the price on the cross for you to have a heart that wants to follow the Lord. It's your greatest desire as a Christian. Now, I get it. Flesh gets in the way. Our old nature gets in the way. But Jesus has done something for you. Your delight, think of it, like your delight, your happiness, your joy. It's what? It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's who you are in Christ. That's who you are. So anytime you wake up a little grumpy, and you will, anytime you walk into a room and your heart is feeling a little hard, and it will, it happens to all of us. I mean, okay, Jesus, this is where I'm at. This is how I'm feeling. Help me. Help me. And what's so cool about Jesus is when he resurrected and ascended to the right hand of the Father, do you know what he did? He asked the Father to send us a helper. He sent us the Holy Spirit. And so you can say, help me, and the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will begin to minister to your heart. Right? Anybody else need that ministry of the Lord? Just this week, I was like, God, I need your ministry. I need you to speak to my heart. If you're ever struggling with unforgiveness, maybe towards somebody right now, you're just struggling with unforgiveness. I've struggled with unforgiveness. Maybe even right now, there's somebody in this room who's like, man, I'm stuck. Well, then let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart. Let him do that. If you're struggling with fear, if you're struggling with worry, let him minister to your heart. I love that talk about anxiety and depression. That can be a part of our life, but if anxiety and depression defines your life, if your identity is found in your anxiety, that is not Jesus. That is not the Lord. Let the Lord minister to your heart. Again, right now, the enemy knows what he's doing. It's the same thing he's been doing for thousands of years, but he's getting us right at that place of influence where we could use our words for life, and now he's using our words for death. You see that in the political side of things right now? I think there's a lot of just chaos that it's kind of getting us to say things and do things that if you evaluated what we said and did, I'm not sure it was kingdom-minded. So there's that political side of things going on, economic side of things going on, societal things going on. And I'd say this, and I care about every one of those issues. But what I've noticed is sometimes as I let certain thoughts and attitudes creep into my life, it's actually poisoning the soil. I have allowed poison into my soil. Whew. And when the words coming out of your mouth aren't fruitful, when they're not life-giving, but when the words coming out of our mouths are fear, so good. When the words coming out of our mouths are fear, worry, and anger, then again, we got to remember who we are and whose we are. Let the lover of our soul, let the Lord, by the power of his Holy Spirit, minister to us again. I love preaching. I'm preaching to myself first. So I hope you guys all realize that. I was thinking about it this way. I'm 43. I can't believe I'm 43. Even hanging out that thing, like the average worship leader, I think, was 22, they said, at this thing. There's 24 worship leaders from all over the country. And it was really hard to hear the old man comments. And I was looking around, looking for the old man. And it was me. Oh, man. Woo. But at 43, I thought about this week. Oh, man, if you can visually think this way with me real quick, that I have every emotion and every feeling available to me. If it was a buffet, I could choose to express myself in any emotion or any feeling. So if someone cuts me off on Interstate 5, the buffet of every emotion and every feeling is available to me. God has given me free will. He's given me the freedom to express whatever emotions, feelings, actions I would choose to express. You ever have someone do you wrong? Just be inappropriate, do something that wasn't fair? It happens to all of us. But in those moments, I'm not some Jesus robot that just automatically responds like Jesus. Right? I have the power to choose the life of Jesus or the death of sin in that moment. I can choose to speak life-giving words or choose to speak words that cause death and destruction. LifeSpring, we are more powerful than we realize. We are more powerful than we realize. You can use that power for good or evil. Our words can harm or heal, condemn or comfort, divide or unite, bring death or bring life. And so I don't know about you. I want to be a Jesus follower who brings life wherever I go. I want the life of Jesus to follow me. I want it to go in front of me and behind me, above me, below me. I want Jesus and his life. I want the colorful, full, vibrant, good garden life wherever I go. And if that's going to be true of my life, then I got to make sure my heart is in the right place. Again, am I in a good place before the Lord? LifeSpring, how's the soil of your heart? Listen to this just a couple of chapters later in Matthew 15. Look at this one. This is Jesus still. He says, the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. Amen. What's coming out of your heart is that, or what's coming out of your mouth, it's actually starting in the heart. He says, and out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Uh-oh. That's a tough list. What do I need? I need a new heart. And how do I get a new heart? By putting my life in the hands of Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need that circumcision of the heart that comes when you become a Christ follower, when you receive Jesus into your life. Anybody else? You needed Jesus to cut some stuff off. You needed him to just cut it off. But not only did he cut it off, he also replaced it with something else, right? He replaced it with something even better. He replaced it with himself, with his presence, the garden life of his presence. Hallelujah. So again, let him minister to your heart, remind you of who and whose you are. Maybe one way to think about it is give him permission to till the soil of your heart. You know, tilling, like just stirring it up. We're in the, kind of winter is closing, spring is coming. The hard ground that we have at our, you know, houses or apartments, and it's time to just break that stuff up. You know that the Lord actually wants to break some of that up in us right now. Like he wants to get in there and dig it up, and you don't have to be full of shame, or you don't have to come in here all depressed or like, the Lord right now, he just wants you to give him permission. He's not going to force it. There's no Jesus robots here. But if you're open and willing to let him come in, again, no matter how your week went, even if you did the worst thing ever this morning, the Lord is not here to condemn you, but he's here to save you. And let him, give him permission to say, God, right now, here am I. Do not miss out on this. Here am I. My heart needs you to come in and just begin to dig it up so that the soil would be good for whatever word you'd want to deposit today. Amen. Amen. Okay. I love this idea of fruit. That good soil produces fruit. I was even thinking about like when you do a garden or you grow a garden, it's vegetables, right? Fruits and vegetables. And I have a picture here of a bunch of vegetables. And when you look at that picture, what I think of is life. Life. I was laughing a little because my 13-year-old version of me, when I saw that picture, I would think that is the worst food option ever. Like, I was not a fruits and vegetables kind of kid. But at 43, I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but I've noticed that what I eat affects how I feel. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And when I eat that kind of thing, you know, that kind of stuff, it brings life. It's life. Again, when you think of cucumbers and onions and carrots, potatoes, tomatoes, all those things, it's life. It's life-giving. It's living. It's what Jesus is describing in this parable. We're talking about 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. But anybody tried a garden before? Any gardeners out there? Back there? Any over here? Any gardener? Couple? Oh, there. So I tried that once. I got a picture here of my bounty. And that's not a quarter, it's a nickel. That was the harvest that year. Ain't nobody living off that. Right? That's not life. That's not life. And what are some of the problems there? I mean, there's a lot of problems, obviously, to my gardening ability. But part of it was the soil. And it really was. Again, give the Lord permission to work on the soil. I want to spend the rest of my time talking about the condition of the soil of those around us. I briefly mentioned last Sunday that I was at the Seattle Mariners spring training a couple weeks ago. And I left really discouraged at just how some of the guys around us were acting, how they were talking. I think even like the combination of sports and alcohol is the thing that our culture just really struggles with right now, and what it means to have a good time. And I'm so sad that alcohol continues to be an ingredient for so many people of what it means to have fun and have a good time. But I want to go back to this idea of the sower. I was really convicted about that trip, because church, I want you to hear this. In 2024, it is time for all of us to be the sower again. For all of us to be the sower again and to cast some seed, even at spring training. Right? And the Lord's doing that. The Lord's sowing, the Lord's casting seed, but He wants to do it through us. He doesn't want to do it in spite of us. He wants to do it through us. And last week, Pastor Jesse and Mary were talking about how Seattle won an award. We won the award of being the most unchurched city in the United States. That's a it wasn't actually an award, but that was us. We were the most unreached city in the United States. 64% of people in our area don't go to church at all. Just do not go. So what that means is, yes, we're called to cast seed. We're called to present the gospel. But if you're going to live in the Pacific Northwest, that means when you're throwing that seed, a lot of people, guess what? You're going to hit a lot of hard ground. We just got to get over it, church. Get over it. So what? Some people aren't going to like it. So what? Some people will reject it. So what? I think this parable just shows us, I love this, that the sower doesn't care where it goes. Like, he's not just saying, well, I'm going to sow here, I'm not going to sow. No, he just casts everywhere. Everywhere. I think we got to get some freedom in the church these days where we just start throwing it everywhere. I get, don't cast your pearls before swine, but I think there's another principle here that says, what do we care about? We care about that the message is getting out there. So we cast it everywhere because we want every person to have a shot at receiving the good news of Jesus Christ. Every person. And isn't it one of the great joys of being a Christian? The privilege of being a Christian is we get to tell other people about Jesus. Isn't that the cool thing about being a Christ follower? And now I get to share that with other people. It's the woman at the well. Now, how people respond, you don't have to worry about that. Now, we do worry. In our flesh, we worry. But honestly, we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about how they respond. That's not our problem. That's between them and the Lord. But what we get to do is share the good news. And so use your words. Use your words. And sometimes it's not going to be your words. It's going to be your actions. But I'll just say, more than anything, the best way to cast seed is to confidently and boldly follow Jesus. It's amazing how often we're getting distracted and we're letting the actions of others and the words of others affect my actions and my words. You don't worry about that stuff. What you worry about is my heart in a good place where I am passionately, boldly following the Lord. Because one of the best ways you can be a sower, by the way, one who sows the word of God, is to not be like the world, but be like Jesus. Another way to think about that is be different. Be different. And humans are crazy right now, so it's not that hard to be different. I'm just going to give you a couple real practical points here. These are game changers. First way you can be different. There's more than two ways, by the way. Pay for your clothes when you go shopping at the store. Actually, grab the clothes that you want. Get in line at Burlington or TJ Maxx or where, you know, now you know where I shop. But and pay for your clothes. I just had a conversation with two people who aren't necessarily walking with the Lord. This just happened last week. And they both just retired from retail. They had been in retail for decades. They've retired. One at JCPenney's and the other at Rite Aid. And I was sitting in the car with them and they began to tell me horror stories of how it's gone in the last couple of years. And I'm telling you, they had nothing good to say about humans. And these aren't Christians, right? These aren't. And it broke my heart, but they also realized like, well, then Christians in a store, we have an opportunity to be witnesses. Because this person has been watching just terrible things happen all day. And so you can come in without grumbling or complaining. You can come in with a smile. You can ask them how their day is gone. You can pay for it. You can say, God bless you. I hope you have a great day. Like, it's not too hard to be different in this world. Another one is money. Just be generous. And I love LifeSpring. You guys are so generous. But this is a greedy world. I was even reading about how people took advantage of the PPP loans, the loans that kept businesses afloat. And yet scam after scam after scam after scam. Because people are greedy. And so, you know how you can combat greed, I think, as a church? Is we're generous. We're not going to hoard. We're going to give. We're going to be giving. I was staying at a hotel, and this lady, she was doing all the breakfast items. And, man, she was having a morning. I could just tell. And I said, man, how are you doing? She was just on it, really honest. Like, I'm not doing good. And it had been a really rough morning. And you can imagine some of the conversations she'd probably had up until that point with people demanding so much from her. So I just, you know, the money I had in my pocket, I was like, hey, thank you so much, and God bless you. You know, like, that's one of the cool things we get to do. I love that about you. Pete Wilmot is one of the best examples I know of that. He's always going around buying people food and giving people food and very, very generous. So if you're hungry after service, just talk to Pete. Let's go. That was so good. That was the biggest response we've gotten all day. That was so good. But this is what we do, church. This is who we are. We're different. And again, it's not hard to be different right now in our society, but be different in a way that is life-giving. I've noticed that the bait of Satan, this isn't in my notes, but the bait of Satan right now, the temptation is for us to be different in a way that is actually based on fear and anger. But can we be different in a way that is based on love, where we're life-giving, investing in people, pouring into people, sowing into people? Come on, the good news of the kingdom, in our words, in our actions, just investing life into people. And sometimes it's going to be straight up, hey, do you know Jesus? Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me share my story with you about Jesus. I'm thankful that Jason is here today. I got to lead Jason in his relationship to the Lord 23 years ago in a dorm room at the University of Wyoming. Like, an incredible, awesome day. But I'd also say that was not in a vacuum, that he had spent time around a lot of different Christians that were living in a way where he is like, whoa, like, there's a new way to be human. There's a different way to be human. And that we could play our part in that. Just live in a life-giving way. Am I living in a life-giving way? It's a great way to just evaluate. Is the word, I'll leave conversations and I'm like, were the words I used, were they life-giving? So often I'm convicted like, Dan, why did you say that? Or why did you do that? And I just realized the enemy was using me for his purposes and not for the kingdom. But just, again, am I living in a way that's flowing not from my old self, not from my flesh, but flowing from that garden, flowing from a changed heart, flowing from a new heart, where, again, by the time people are done interacting with you, Christians but also non-Christians, they're just kind of like, what? Huh? You know, don't you want people to be curious when they walk away from you? Like, wow, what was up with, like, who are you? Why are you so encouraging? Why are you so fun? One of my favorite parts about being around Pastor Randy, man, Pastor Randy, he was just so fun. And he was encouraging. I never left time with Randy, but I was just feeling like I could conquer the world. One of the things that not everyone knows about Randy in this room is Randy spent a lot of time with non-Christians. And one thing that can happen as a pastor is you spend less and less time with non-Christians because the needs are so great in a church that I actually end up spending all my time with Christians. Again, the needs are great. And yet, Randy was able to get into rooms of non-Christians and people that were doing terrible things. So, like, there'd be a wedding. I'm like, man, I don't know if I can do that wedding, but go talk to Pastor Randy. He'll do it. He worked at a local funeral home. I don't know if you guys know that. So he did so many funerals, and he would tell me the stories about these funerals, like hilarious things that they would want to do at this funeral because the whole room, like 100%, no Christians in the room. And yet, can you just imagine? And here comes Randy, full of life-giving seed, coming in with his humor and his smile. And he knew how to cry. He knew how to grieve with people, but he knew how to grieve and also saying something wildly inappropriate and funny at the same time. But I love that. I mean, there are Christians right now walking this earth. There are people we will meet in eternity because of Randy's willingness not to evaluate who he's going to throw the seed out to, but just to cast seed everywhere he went. He threw it on hard ground. He threw it on stony ground. He threw it on thorny ground. Because why? He was walking with Jesus. He was in the world, but not of the world. He was trying to be like Jesus. So he just loved people. He loved people. He was casting seed. I think as Christians who want to reach the world for Christ, Randy's life is just a great example of kind of this idea. You don't have to worry about the condition of the person's heart. Again, that's not your job. Your job is to cast the seed, good seed, life-giving seed, the power of the gospel of Jesus. And again, do that with your words and actions. By the way, we got Easter coming up, and I know we mentioned that in the announcements. But you have family, you have friends, neighbors, coworkers, many of them that don't know Jesus, but you know that they need to know Jesus. I asked somebody today or this last week, I was like, hey, can you give me so-and-so's number? Because I wanted to invite that person to Easter. And they didn't respond to me, but that's okay, church. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to cast the seed. And here's the tough thing about inviting people to stuff like that is you've probably done it before. Right? But why not do it again? Why not? What's the worst that can happen? They say no? Well, they've said no before. Invite them. Invite them to Easter, because at Easter, you know what we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about his life and his death and his resurrection. And we're going to say, and if you want to follow Jesus and have eternal life that is found in him, give your life to him today and watch what Jesus is going to do. That's what we're going to do on that day. We do it every Easter. Here's the deal. Some people are going to come in with a really hard heart, and they're going to leave with a really hard heart. That's okay. I'm so happy they came. You're welcome here at LifeSpring. Thank you for being our guest. Others are going to be open to Jesus, but then at the first sign of opposition, because opposition does come to young believers. That's why we need to support young believers, because the attack is so, so real. They're going to be open, but the first opposition, maybe they wake up on a Sunday morning with a headache, or they get a flat tire or something like that, or someone says something mean to them, or, you know, we know the drill, right? But just something so small, it will bump them off track and it will keep them from growing in the Lord. Others are going to grow, but the things of this world, wealth, lust, all the things, right? It's just going to lead them away. But others, it's going to be a defining moment of their life where they're never going to be the same. They're going to become a disciple. They're going to be a disciple who makes disciples, who will begin to cast seed to others. I think of Ryan Chavez. I got to eat out with him for breakfast Wednesday morning, a man who gave his life to the Lord here at LifeSpring. And now he's a youth and young adults leader in the Nashville area, just radically changed forever and ever. But again, we don't get to control how people respond to the word. That's not the power I have. But the power I have, the power you have, is the power to share the gospel of Jesus. And again, I just really felt this for my own life, but also for you, my friends here at LifeSpring. I think we need to hear this. If you've been a Christian for a while, again, you feel like you've already cast that seed with your family and your friends and your coworker and your neighbors. You've made the invite. You've had the discussion about Jesus. And if we're honest, in some way, there's a heaviness in your heart today. You're discouraged because you remember how that went. It didn't go well. It hurts even just thinking about that Thanksgiving or that Christmas or that text you received. In fact, here's one. I don't know who this is for. I think the Lord told me this week. I might be wrong. I'm not batting a thousand on this. But I felt like there was someone. You're in your 70s. You have a sibling who does not know the Lord. I felt it so strongly in my spirit that I was supposed to tell you to cast the seed again. And I know they said no before, and I know it hasn't gone how you thought it should go, but the Lord has been working on the soil of their heart. And so cast again. In the name of Jesus, cast again. And watch what happens. God's still working. You know how I know he's still working? Because he's still working on my heart. He's still doing something in me. He's doing something in your heart. Did you know that people are allowed to change? Even your family member, they're like, they will never. No, even they are allowed to change. And the Lord is working on their heart. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, and I want to share this story. And I think it'll apply to a lot of us. Pastor Joe Bullman from Squim Valley Foursquare was talking to me this week about this guy. So he has this guy who's a Christian at his church and a younger man. And the younger man loves his dad and wants his dad, you know, to be with him in heaven, you know, wants him to be saved. And so he starts talking to his dad about Jesus. And the dad's response was, if you ever bring up Jesus again, I'm going to cut you out of my life. And so he's talking to Pastor Joe about this. Of course, that's a hard word to hear from your dad. I mean, it's your dad. You love your dad. And you want to live with your dad. And so this young man has a child. And they have the baby dedication coming up. And so he says, Dad, you want to come? You know, our baby's going to get dedicated. Dad says, yeah, I'd love to come. So Dad comes to the baby dedication. And then he came the next Sunday. And then he came the next Sunday. And he came the next Sunday. And again, this is after he had told his son, at an Arby's, if you ever bring up Jesus again, I'm going to cut you off. And so then this older gentleman invites Pastor Joe to Arby's. And he said, Pastor, I thought this would be the appropriate place, the place where I said, if you ever talk about Jesus again, I'm going to cut you off. I thought this would be an appropriate place for me to give my life to Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so I believe that's the kind of work that God is doing right now. And he's not just doing it in the story I just told. I think he wants to do that in our stories, in our families, our friends, coworkers. Okay, church, so would you stand with us? We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in this place. So I just want to lead some of this. I think for a lot of us, it's just the posture of putting our hands out. Because that posture of putting our hands out is to receive from the Lord. But it's also kind of to give, to offer something back to the Lord. So Holy Spirit, we just give right now. Any and all that we have back to you, and we receive whatever you'd want to give to us. And so I just want to pray for a couple of things this morning. First is just Holy Spirit, examine our hearts. Examine my heart. Even as I was walking through this message, there was some ugly stuff in there. There was some stuff that just, oh, it was not good. And yet, by your Spirit, you're the great physician. You're such a good surgeon. You know how to come in and just cut it off And so I pray right now in the name of Jesus, cut off anything that is not of the Lord. Cut off anything that is of our old self that does not belong any longer in this new nature, this new heart that you paid the price for. Right now, cut it off in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that I would be good soil. Good soil for your word. And we do ask, even with our hands open, we ask that you would give us a fresh word. That something would land on our hearts today that would take root and bear much fruit. This would be a fruitful season. A fruitful season. A garden season. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Oh, so good. Just a garden season. A season of abundance. Where the people around us, when they meet us and encounter us and have conversations with us, they couldn't help but getting that life-giving fruit all over them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And then, Lord, I think this is a really appropriate prayer for myself, but also for anyone else in this room who's been walking with you for a while. Lord, we need your boldness. One of the things I read in the book of Acts is when your spirit falls on a group of people, there's a boldness that comes upon them. And we need your boldness to once again share the good news of Jesus with those around us. And there's a fear of rejection. There's a fear of insult. There's a fear of the word no. But Lord, we don't want to live in fear. We want to live fruitful lives for the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we cast our anxiety, our fear, our worry, we just throw that off right now in the name of Jesus. We throw it off. We cast it off. And we say, give us your boldness. Give us your power. Give us your authority that we could share the good news of Jesus. And we believe that a harvest is coming. A harvest is coming. And these stories, even the story I told today, that we won't have time to tell all of the stories of people who we thought were lost that have been found. People that we thought there was no way. Like, there was no way. I just pray for on the road to Damascus stories to happen right now in this day, in 2024. For the Sauls of this world to become the Apostle Pauls. I just pray that right now, Lord. Some people need to get knocked off their donkey. I pray that they get knocked off their donkey right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that over... Lord, I felt that so clearly on my own heart. You just told me, you said, Dan, why are you limiting what I can do? The issue was not you, Lord. The issue was me. And so again, Lord, Holy Spirit, invade my life to give me a passion for your name, a boldness for your glory, a delight in your kingdom, that I'd want to live my life, all the days of my life, for you and for you alone, and that I would not hold any longer this seed, but I'd throw it out in the name of Jesus. Throw it all over. Cast it all over. Oh, that Jesus is good, that Jesus is love, that Jesus is life, that there's a better way, there's a new way. Oh, to come to Jesus, to hear about Jesus. So, Lord, just till the soil. I pray right now, as a church, we pray right now for this Easter service coming up in a few weeks. Would you till the soil even now? As our invite cards go out, would you till the soil? As we go out and even give our neighbors flowers to remind them of the life that Jesus has given us, would you till that soil even now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You did it in me. You can do it in somebody else. If you can do it in me, the worst of sinners, the chief sinner, if you could save my life, then you could save anybody's life. And we don't want you to do it in spite of us, but in the name of Jesus, would you do it through us? Hallelujah. And all God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord.